We have had a very full service today, and I'm just going to add a few words in closing, as it were. It's not only been a full service, it's been a very full year when it comes to all that's happened in our life as a congregation. A lot of you this past year have given much of your time and energy, and I value that and I appreciate it very much. It's been a year of taking stock of ourselves, particularly in the wake of Michael Doral's visit and consultation with us for that weekend back in November. Giving us a chance to take a look at where we've been as a congregation, where we'd like to go. I think with the leadership of our executive board, we've carried that process forward very well. I know money is never a full indication of the health and well-being of a congregation, but it does provide something of an indication. And I think this year's pledge drive was and is a good indication of the faith this congregation has in its future. We'll be working with a pledge base for our upcoming fiscal year that is over $40,000 higher than the one we had this past year that we began with back at our last annual meeting. And you're to be commended for that. We still certainly have our financial challenges that we need to meet if we're going to achieve an even greater independence from our dependence on our invested funds for operating expenses. We're not exactly to the promised land, but we are, I think, pointed in that direction a little better than we were a year ago. It was very glad to have Emily join us this morning and convey her thanks for the ordination service we had for her a few weeks ago. Emily, it's good to have you back with us. I think that service is an indication of the role that this congregation has played in the past 4 years in helping prepare persons for the Unitarian Universalist ministry. We've had two very joyous occasions to mark that, Emily's ordination and then Jackie's farewell sermon to us a couple of Sundays ago. With Emily's ordination, especially been able to determine, I throw that caveat in there, it was the first ordination held in the history of this congregation, which is pretty amazing when you think the church has been here for 178 years. Now, there could have been an ordination or two taking place back in some of those very early days of this congregation that didn't get recorded or records to it got lost, but as best we can tell, by all indications, Emily was our first. So you've been a wonderful teaching congregation, both for Emily and now for Jackie. And I hope that you are holding the date in the afternoon of October the 3rd for Jackie's ordination, the UU Church down in Littleton, Massachusetts. We hope to see all of you there. As I noted in my newsletter call this past week, we are taking a year's hiatus from being a teaching congregation this upcoming year, so I can work out an affiliation with the Harvard Divinity School's Field Ed program. More details of that than I need to get into here. But our long-term commitment for providing a setting for ministerial preparation will, I have every reason to believe, remain intact. In your granting me the 3-month sabbatical I took earlier this year, you also, to an extent, a good extent, helped out with this matter. Ministerial preparation. For part of my stay as a minister in residence at Chicago's Meadville Lombard Theological School from this past January through March involved my interacting and spending some time with students there who are entering the UU ministry. And I was pleased to be able to share with them whatever wisdom, if that's what it is, that I may have gained in this undertaking called ministry. Much of what I had to share with them, much of what I felt I was hoping to pass along to them involved things that I have learned here as your minister over the past 16 years. In addition to that, those 3 months were also a very valuable time for me, time for some personal study, some reflection, some personal assessment on my own life journey, both personal and professional. I'll be completing the remainder of my sabbatical in 1-month increments over the next 2 church years. We've already spent some time talking about our social outreach efforts this morning, and we broke some new ground in that. Some of that, as I say, was born out of necessity. After having to curtail the way we've been doing our outreach grants over the past year due to the budget crisis we faced about this time a year ago. And so, as just noted, we began taking up collections on Sunday mornings back in November. And I'm pleased to note, as this church year comes to a close, that the walls are still standing and the roof is... And the roof is still up there. Because everything we take in here goes out, everything that we take on a Sunday morning goes out our door to deserving causes and agencies in our community. A As you'll see at our annual meeting, when this year's fiscal budget is presented, we're going to continue to follow that process. We'll continue to support worthy causes in our community, select the dental outreach that David just told us about a little earlier. We want to do that by means of the generosity that you show here on Sunday mornings, as well as other ways we may be able to find. It's been another year, I feel, of keeping our values, our hopes, our dreams as a liberal religious community alive and growing, alive with the day-to-day and week-to-week life of this beloved community. We shared our lives together in so many ways. We pursued our journeys of spirit and mind as we each sought in our own way personally as well in conversation and sharing with others to touch that reality that we feel is greater than ourselves, by whatever name we give that. And we've had fun together. We've wrestled with issues of importance to our life and our viability as a congregation. We've had some very uplifting, joyful times of great gain. We've experienced some times of very painful loss as well. And we've devoted attention and commitment to the world beyond the community we're building here. Just to cite one example, I'm pleased with the role that many of us in this congregation have played in getting a branch of the NAACP established here in the greater Nashville area. I feel honored in being asked to serve on the executive board of this fine organization as it seeks to establish itself in this city and region. Beyond our community, the tragedy, the grief, and the sorrow of war has also been much on our minds over this past year. We have sought for and we have stood for ways in which that elusive, and yet I believe still attainable goal, stated on our sixth UU principle, the goal of world community, peace, liberty, and justice for all, that calls out for greater fulfillment today than ever before, I feel. So we will keep on, and we will keep faith, bringing this principle to greater fruition. I want to close these short remarks today by sharing with you a letter that came to the church this past week. It speaks in a very simple and yet eloquent way about how this congregation meaningfully and positively touches lives. It came from Bud and Mary Swanson as they're getting settled into their new home out in Flagstaff, Arizona. I can say this now without fear of embarrassing them. I think Bud and Mary epitomize the very best in what it means to be a part of a congregation like this, both in terms of all that they gave to it over the years they were here in Nashua, and the ways in which they graciously and gratefully received from it as well. Since the salutation to this letter is to our dear friends at the Nashua Union Church, and it's only fair, right, and good that I read it to you since it wasn't just addressed to me. Here's what they had to say. To our dear friends at the National Union Church, we have arrived in Flagstaff. It's a good move, and we're happy. Our goal of being close to our son and his family is working out very well. After years of seeing them on a twice-yearly basis, we're enjoying having meals with them and going to school events for the boys. They have been coming over to help us out of our mess of packing boxes as we started out this week. We started out quickly. The house we had not seen except in pictures is a delight. We're scrambling to put things away, having forgotten how much you can fit in a basement. So far, we can't get the cars in the garage. How do we miss you all? We miss the connection, the loving connection with people of like minds. We truly felt we had a supportive group of people to know and enjoy. We miss the sermons, the choir music, and the mental and spiritual stimulation we found in our beautiful church. Your farewell to us made us feel really good, but we didn't say how much you had mattered to us. You do. Thank you for the basket of New Hampshire goodies. They've been well eaten into and used up over the past several weeks. Should you head towards the Grand Canyon, remember, and then they give their address and phone number here. With fond memories, Bud and Mary Swanson. I would say that as long as we are touching lives in this manner, then there's clearly a lot that we're doing right here. I know you know that there isn't a congregation of any faith or religious persuasion in existence that does not have room for improvement, ours being no exception. And we'll keep working on those areas. And I think we can also take pride in who we are, in the ways in which we all engage in ministry with one another and with our larger community. I've refrained from thanking people by name this morning for all they've given this past year. Not because I don't know who you are, but instead because I do. And because it would be a longer list than I could ever possibly run through at this point. I'm going to make one exception this morning, and that's the area that Drew also alluded to during our announcement time. I want to thank John Sanders for his 4 years of outstanding leadership as our executive board president and president of our congregation. His term comes to a close at the annual meeting on June 17th. In addition to John, I want to thank all of you for extending to me the privilege